Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother James, and I appreciate the kind invitation. It's a blessing to be with you all tonight, and it's an honor and a privilege to be with the Lord's people and to feel His presence with us even over this way that we're meeting tonight. I appreciate the good, humble prayer by a dear brother, Brother Kim, and just pray that ask that we continue to pray as I try to speak to you in the Lord's name. And we realize what we pray for tonight is a miracle of His grace. I've got my mind tonight, and I hope and trust it's of the Lord on the subject of patience. And this is a big subject, and certainly not one we can cover tonight in the limited time that we have. But the Webster's 1828 dictionary would describe patience as suffering the afflictions and the trials and the tribulations of life with a calm and unruffled temper. Its probably most simple definition is that of cheerful endurance. It has the connotation of suffering the things of the world without murmuring. And I don't know about y'all, but it seems like I'm a little bit better at enduring things in life than I am cheerfully enduring things in life. The first place I'd like to go, the Lord being our helper, is in Psalms chapter 40. In verse 1, where the psalmist David would say, "I waited patiently for the Lord." It's interesting because the Hebrew word rendered waited and the Hebrew word rendered patiently is the same word. I waited. It's a double waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, we live in a society where we don't have to wait for much. We probably have more instant things than we ever have in the history of the world. Instant potatoes, instant oatmeal, instant rice. If we want something to eat quickly, we can pop it in the microwave and in a few seconds or a minute or so, it's heated up. We can drive through a drive-through and get food relatively quickly, and we're just not used to waiting that long. So when we do have to wait, it can be a little frustrating and can try our patience. We were recently, as we traveled up to Danville, Virginia, for that church meeting and enjoyed being there with our dear brethren and sisters in Christ there. We went through Cades Cove and we were on that little one lane road for about 45 minutes. And I began to become a little impatient. And sometimes when we're impatient, we can assume things that are not true. And I began to assume that there was a bear up there that people were just looking at and they were refusing to move on. And I had sat there long enough, so I was going to go up to the front of the line and I wasn't going to be ugly. I was going to be very kind, but I was going to see if I could get the line moving. And as I was walked 100 or so yards up and didn't even see the front of the line, I was met by a gentleman who said that the reason the line was not moving is there were actually a mama bear and two cubs on the road. And they would not move out of the road, therefore traffic wasn't moving. And people didn't really want to honk their horns and disturb the bears and maybe rile them up, so the line wasn't moving. And we can come to sometimes some wrong assumptions when we get impatient. David here was waiting patiently. And he wasn't just waiting for anything or anybody. He was waiting for the Lord. what we're waiting on can depend on how long we're willing to wait and how good it is. I remember us on a trip one time, and we were riding and we're anxiously awaiting to eat a steak dinner that night, and we kept seeing the advertisements for the sign and for the steak place, and they made it sound so good and so wonderful, and we were anxiously awaiting it. And then when we finally got there, we're waiting in line for a long time, and then we finally get the steak, and it just wasn't worth waiting for. It just wasn't. I could have gotten a steak way closer to home in Jackson, Mississippi, that would have tasted better, and it just wasn't worth the wait. But I want to tell you what David was waiting for was worth the wait. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." He was willing to double wait. And he was willing to wait cheerfully because he knew it was worth the wait. And the one that he was waiting for was worth every bit of patience and waiting that David could do. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And I think he had a great anticipation. That word wait and the word there rendered patient. Patiently actually has the connotation of to bind together. It has the connotation to look eagerly for. And we look eagerly for something that we're expecting to see. And David was not waiting for the Lord, wondering, would he ever see him? But he was waiting for the Lord very eagerly, expecting that the one he was waiting for. That he would see. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and what happened? And he inclined unto me and heard my cry." Not only did the Lord come, not only did the Lord manifest his presence, but he said, "The Lord inclined unto me." That word literally means bow down. It almost has the connotation of when us as a mama or a daddy will bend down at the level of one of our small little children or grandchildren and be there for them. Not only did the Lord show up with David, but he inclined unto him. He bowed down to him and was so close to him that he could hear his every cry. That's the Lord we wait for in prayer. That's the Lord that manifests his presence to us, and not only in a far-off way, but in a very close way. In a way where he bends down to us as his little children, and he makes us feel his presence ever near, and he's close to us. And I'll tell you, little child of God, he's worth waiting for, and waiting for patiently, and waiting for cheerfully. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." And there's a whole lot of applications that could be made of that, but let's just look at our beginning. Because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, we were all conceived into this world dead in trespasses and in sins. That is our beginning. What's our end? Our end is born again children of God. Our end is the elect of God. Our end is to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven in immortal glory. The end of us is to be conformed to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, sometimes I can be very impatient on the inside, but yet hide it on the outside. And this is getting to not only the outside, but to the inside. He said, patient, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And I want to tell you, patience is kind of the opposite of pride, and haughtiness and arrogance is cheerfully enduring. And it's a blessing not only when we appear to be patient, but because of everything the Lord's done for us, and because we're waiting on the next time that we feel his presence in a special way, we can be patient also in spirit. That word patience there is sometimes translated in the King James Bible as long suffering. And I want to tell you the best example of long suffering there is the Lord himself. I love if we go back to Exodus chapter 33 and look at verse 34. Moses was in a difficult time. The children of Israel had been very rebellious. They had made golden calves, and instead of worshiping God Almighty, Jehovah God, the I Am that I Am, that had brought them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt into freedom, they said, we're going to worship these golden calves. And Moses was in a very difficult place as the leader of Israel. And the Lord had said, Moses, I'll send mine angel before you, and I'll drive out all the enemies of Israel before you. But he said, I'll not go in the midst of you, for they are a stiff-necked people. And Moses has said, Lord, if you don't go with us, then I don't want to go. I need your presence to go with us. And in the midst of that context, Moses would make a request of the Lord. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord will answer that prayer in verse 19 of Exodus 33. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy unto whom I'll show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I'll cover thee there with my hand while I pass by, and I'll take away my hand that thou shalt see my back parts, but my face will not be seen. And I'll tell you, Moses there was blessed on the Lord that he was waiting for. That Lord inclined unto him, and he heard his voice. And in the next chapter, he actually proclaims the name of the Lord that he promises would. And listen to what God calls himself in verse 6 of Exodus 34. It said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, patient and abundant in goodness and truth. Aren't you thankful that the Lord is long-suffering? I'll tell you, there's nobody that was ever more patient than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ not only knew when Peter and James and John and the other disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest, he knew when they were just thinking it. And the Lord Jesus Christ could have nailed them to the wall 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for their sin. But look how patient he was. There were times when he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? But look how patient and how long-suffering the Lord was. We go to the New Testament. We go to Romans chapter 2. In verse 7 or verse 6, it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And he didn't describes proceeds to describe the blessings of the righteous. He says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. What are we as the elect of God waiting for? We're waiting for glory. We're waiting for honor. We're waiting for immortality, and we're waiting for eternal life. Now, there's a sense in which we as born-again children of God, we've got an inward man right now. We've got a seed that remaineth in us right now that's been made perfect, that's ready right now for heaven and immortal glory. So we're possessors in that sense of eternal life. So much so that when we breathe our last breath, that soul and spirit that God Almighty has already changed, there's nothing that has to change about it, but it'll immediately go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and immortal glory when we breathe our last breath. But there's a sense in which we've not yet experienced the glory and the splendor and the immortality of heaven. But that's what we're waiting for. And I'm going to tell you, it's worth waiting for. It's the best thing that's ever been. And it says, to them who by patient continuance, what are we supposed to do while we're waiting for heaven? What are we supposed to do when we get the great blessing of that glory, that immortality, that eternal life in heaven? Are we just supposed to be like the impatient man that's sitting there and tapping his fingers on the table or twiddling their thumbs? No. He said, what we're to be doing is by patient, cheerful endurance, patient continuance in well-doing, doing what's good, doing what's right, in service to the Lord, and in service to each other, our brethren and our sisters in Christ. You may say, Brother Mark, this world's so tough. It can be so difficult. How can we cheerfully endure? Because our eyes are ultimately on what we're waiting for. And what we're waiting for is worth the wait. And in the midst of this, no matter how difficult the trials and the tribulations of this life can be, because we know what we're waiting for is worth the wait, we can endure it. And we can cheerfully endure it. And while we're waiting, we can have patient continuance in well-doing. You know, the best way to keep Mark Quarles out of trouble is to keep me busy in well-doing. Keep me busy in doing right. The old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop, is so very true. But if you can, we can stay busy doing the good things of God, then what a blessing that it is. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Notice it doesn't say we glorify the tribulation. Or we say, Lord, please give me tribulation. No. But what it's saying is, even in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of life, we can still glory in the one that lifts us up. We can glory in the one that even in the most difficult times of our life, we can underneath us feel the everlasting arms. We can still glory in the tribulation, because we're glorifying the God of all glory, the Lord Jesus. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Again, that word patient means cheerful endurance. That word worketh has the connotation to work out. Tribulations can cause that patience that the Lord's put within us is one of those fruit of the Spirit. Remember, another word for patience is long-suffering. Do you remember what Galatians 5 says about the fruit of the Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, patience. And the Lord's put that within us. And sometimes that patience works out of us as we undergo tribulation, not because of the tribulation itself, but because of the Lord that sustains us and lifts us up in the midst of it. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience literally means proven, tried character. When we look at one of the Lord's children that are going through such difficult days and still has cheerful endurance and still trust in the Lord no matter what they're going through, does it not resonate with us as our brothers and sisters in Christ that look on them? Wow. Look how they continue to faithfully serve the Lord. Look how they continue to cheerfully endure in what they're going through, because they trust in God no matter what. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Goes back to what we're waiting for. Hope is the earnest and joyful expectation of eternal salvation, of our home in heaven. And it's all connected back to what we're waiting for. Remember one of those definitions of patient back in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, is binding together. No matter what we're experiencing in this life, we're still tied. We are still bound together to the Lord that loves us so much that he was willing to come and suffer and bleed and die for us on Calvary's tree. I've always been a little afraid to pray for patience. I'll be honest with you, because tribulation does work patience. And I've never really wanted to just ask for more tribulation. But you know, there's another thing that the Bible says can bless us with patience. And it's found in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. He's talking about the scriptures. And the New Testament was not yet penned when this was written. So he's really talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You may say, Brother Mark, how can we, through reading the scriptures, how could it increase our patience? One of the reasons that tribulation works patience is because when we've gone through them, we know that our God, no matter what, sustains us, even in the midst of the most difficult times. And so that gives us confidence when the next valley comes. The same Lord that carried us through the previous valley will carry us through this valley. Well, as we read the scriptures, we can look at all the things that happened to those saints of God back in the Old Testament. And we'll look at all the promises of God that he gave them, that he always, always kept. And we can have confidence that the same Lord that carried them through their trials and tribulations is the same Lord that carries us. I love what Joshua says toward the end of his life in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua knows that he's about to die. And I'm going to tell you, there's actually a special thing in courts of law that are called a dying declaration, that the words that a man or woman might say when they know they're about to die has a higher weight of evidence in our legal system. Because when we know we're about to die, we're not going to say something we don't mean from the depths of our heart. And Joshua would say this in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. He said, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." He knew he was about to pass away from this life into heaven and immortal glory. He said, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know that in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Joshua reminds them that every single promise that God Almighty has made to you, he has kept each promise, and not one promise he's made to you. Notice he keeps emphasizing the personal pronoun you. Not one promise he's made to you will ever fail. And that's why through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. We can see the promises of God in his word. We can know that his promises never fail. We can see the sweet promise that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, and know that his promises never, ever fail. Through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And he says, now the God of patience. Again, he gives us the ultimate example of patience. The God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Lord, who was so long-suffering with Peter and James and John and the other disciples, is the same Lord that's so long-suffering with us. Should not we be long-suffering with one another? Should not we long suffer one another with cheerful endurance? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And before we go there, and there's a lot more that could be said on this subject. But let's go to Revelation 1 before we go to Romans 8. Trying to think about the best way to. But no, let's go to Hebrews 7 first. Y'all bear with me. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 13. Here's one of the places where we can see where God always keeps his promises. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Now that's referencing a promise made to Abraham in Genesis 22:17. But a promise was made previously to Abraham in Genesis 12 that was very similar, that in Abraham all nations of the earth would be blessed. That promise was made to Abraham when he was 75 years old. You know when really the fulfillment of the first part of that promise was made? When Isaac would be born? 25 years later, when Abraham was 100. But Abraham patiently endured, believing the promise of God. And what a blessing that is. In Revelation chapter 1, we see that John is on the Isle of Patmos, and I've often wondered what John was thinking. Here, John was on this rocky rock quarry island for prisoners for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John would say in verse 9, he said, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." John was no stranger. According to history, John had been boiled in oil for preaching the gospel, and he miraculously survived and was then placed on this rocky rock quarry island of Patmos. John said, "I'm your brother in tribulation, but I'm also your brother, and I'm also your companion in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." You see, this is a kingdom of patience. It's a kingdom of cheerful endurance. And we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate of cheerfully enduring. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the ultimate example of patient endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He is the ultimate example of cheerfully enduring despite unbelievable tribulation. So as we run the race that's set before us, said us, let us look to the ultimate example, King Jesus, who's run the race and did it perfectly and completely, cheerfully endured. We're to look for him. And what are we waiting for? Romans 8. He said, "For we are," verse 24, "for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not," what? "Heaven and immortal glory, to be with the Lord and glorified bodies made like unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what we're waiting for. Then do we with patience wait for it? We are waiting for the very best thing that could ever happen. We're waiting for the kingdom and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of patience, to come once again with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we'll all be raised up together to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we be together with the Lord. That's what we're waiting for. And I'll tell you, little child of God, it's worth the wait. And while we're waiting, may we do so with patience. While we're waiting, may we cheerfully endure. While we're waiting, may we faithfully serve one another. While we're waiting, may we long suffer one another till our Lord and Savior returns. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and he heard my cry." We can wait for the Lord as we meet together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he manifests his presence, promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we rejoice in those times. But I'll tell you, we're ultimately waiting to the glorious time when we'll see him face to face. We'll be in a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, nor death, but where the former things are passed away. Till that time, May we patiently endure. He is worth the wait. God bless you, is my prayer.